Well, thank you. Great. Good morning. My name is Chi. I'm the senior pastor here at this church, and I just really want to give a really warm welcome to especially all those who are new and here for the first time. Wasn't those amazing stories and amazing testimonies, yeah? Well, let's give the Lord a hand again, yeah? Now, before I bring the Word of God to you, I just want to do a quick acknowledgement of Clement, who was our service leader just before. I've known Clement for a very long time. We actually grew up together in this church. But, you know, one of the things that's been encouraging is to see him take a step of faith. To decrease his work in his other job to pursue God's calling for mission and evangelism. So some of you might have known he's ordained as an evangelist with Christ for All Nations, which is basically a ministry that was founded by Reinhard Bonnke, and has seen more than over 90 million decisions for Jesus and counting. So last year, Clement went with a team of another 121 evangelists from Christ for All Nations to Uganda and saw over 150,000 decisions for Jesus over a three-week period. And amazing, yeah? Yeah, let's give the Lord a hand again, yeah? So Clement's actually going to be going with a team for Christ for All Nations to Manila to do a youth crusade, outreaches, and evangelism equipping. And they really want to pray and ask us to pray with them to expect over thousands of people, especially youth, to come to follow Jesus. So if you're interested in have a heart for missions and evangelism, you can be part and involved in seeing thousands of people come and know Jesus in Manila by partnering with Clement and his wife Alice through prayer, and also investing financially. They'll need to raise over $2,000 to fully fund the Philippines trip. So if you need more information, please speak to Clement, or if not, you can email at hello@claytonchurch.org.au. Fantastic. Thank you. Okay, well, today is Easter Sunday, and so we're going to finish off the series that we've been doing over the last month or so about Jesus on the dusty road to glory. And so today I'm going to talk to you on Jesus is glorified. Everyone, so let's go straight into the Word of God. And then we're going to go to John chapter 16, verse 33. And I really believe that you're here for the first time and you do not know who Jesus Christ is. I want to give you a heads up. We're going to give you an invitation to accept Him as your Savior and Lord at the end of this, yeah? Because it's the best decision you can ever make in your life. And when you come to know Christ, everything in your life begins to change. And so, let's go into the Word. We're going to go into John chapter 16, verse 33, and chapter 17, and this is what it says. I've told you all this, so this is Jesus speaking to his disciples in the upper room. I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome. Everyone say overcome. I have overcome the world. And after saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ, the one sent to earth. And this is God's word. Let me just pray. Lord God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the incredible story of how you have been at work in Tom, Jenny, and Mel's life, Lord. And Lord God, we thank you that you're God that is still at work today. Lord God, that one of the greatest evidence of your resurrection in our life, that you are raised and alive today, is that many of us are alive to tell our stories. And so, Lord God, we just pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you will help us have eyes to see, ears to hear, and heart to believe what you have for us this day. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen. Now, have you ever experienced a moment in your life that was really, really important? But it's not just because of what has happened, but because of what it represents and what it symbolizes. You know, for some of us, it might be that day and season of our graduation. You know, many people get graduated from school, but perhaps for you, it's symbolic and important and significant because you might have been the very first person in the generations and your family line to ever be educated. And that was a significant moment in time. For some of us, especially here, we're migrants coming overseas, trying to apply for PR, getting your very first job. Now, how many of us can testify to that, yeah? Getting that very first job was more than just a job. It was symbolic and represented an open door for you to be able to build an entirely new life here in this nation. It opens the door to be able to have a PR status. It opens the door for you to be able to live a different kind of family life here as you wrestle through that season. For some of us, you know, we go to the doctor and you got a problem with your body and you're going to the doctor to get a health check and the doctor said it's all clear. But you know what? And they say when you're cancer-free, it's so much more than just a doctor's appointment. It just represents that you now have the gift of time back into your hands. Amen? Right? You don't have to fear being away from your spouse anymore. It can end all your fears. For some of us, you know, having a meal with that friend of yours that you have not spoken to a long time can represent a season of forgiveness, that reconciliation is possible, and that there is the power of love to mend wounds. Or even as we heard from Jenny, the gift of new birth. Now, many of us have had children, but for some of us, it can represent an answered prayer to years and years of infertility and heartache. But by God's grace, that's what it represents. Can I hear an amen? Amen. What is that significant moment in time for you? You know, for Eugenia and I, that was a few years ago when we got married. Yeah. Yeah. We're over 2 years married now. So you can come to us for marriage advice. Very, very experienced. But you know what? There's a lot of us that get married, but it was extremely significant for Eugenia and I, because for those who do not know my story, in June 2018, my late wife passed away from a sudden brain hemorrhage, leaving me a widower with 2 young boys, 2 and 5. But that day was a significant moment. Why? Because it showed to me that life can come out of tragedy. Can I hear an amen? It showed to me the faithfulness of God. I've seen Him faithful over my cancer. He's faithful to be able to rebuild your life and for the future of your children. It was significant for me because of the timing of God and how Eugenia and I met. I remember when I was a single again guy, I was asking one of my friends, I was just saying, hey, are there reasons why I could still be single that I should know about that other people see but they don't want to tell you? Like you're too intense or like you talk too much or like whatever. And then the person said to me, Chi, I think besides your personality, there is the fact that you're a pastor and you've got 2 kids. And that really struck me because I'm going, oh yeah, and let alone not even my personality. It's like, and I'm an Asian uncle who drives a Toyota. Who's going to find that sexy, right? Toyota is sexy, amen, right? Anyway, can we say that? That's okay. But you know, but yet, it was just this timing that when Eugenia and I had met and we were dating, God had already taken her on this journey to go, I'm willing to marry someone who has kids. And it was just an amazing, significant moment because to find that person is not that easy. It was significant for me because I was worried about my children being shortchanged. But yet in this moment, it represents the possibility and the potential for my children to flourish again, bringing someone who will love them as their own mother. And she has, no one has ever done that better than Eugenia. Can I? Yeah? And above all else, hope. Because sometimes you want to be hopeful. But we all know we live in a broken world. But it showed to me that whoever hopes in the Lord will never be disappointed. Amen. And that was my significant moment. And yet, as we come into this scripture, we find Jesus praying for a significant moment in time. And that is His death and resurrection. Can I hear an amen? Which we're all celebrating today because many people have died. But yet there was something significant about His death because 3 days later He will be resurrected and He will ascend to the right hand of the throne of God. And here as we come into this text, we find this moment We're sandwiched between Jesus giving his instructions to his disciples and his impending death, and here he offers the Lord's Prayer. Now, many of us think the Lord's Prayer is, you know, our Father who art in heaven, but no, no, no. This is the Lord's Prayer. And here in this moment, Jesus begins to pray. And if you read chapter 17, it covers basically him praying for himself, praying for his disciples, and then praying for those who are yet to believe. But what I want to be able to do this morning is really focus in on the starting line of prayer, his prayer. Just that one verse, because we get to hear through this prayer the significance of this moment for Jesus. And this is what it says. After saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, let's read this all together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give back glory back to you. Let's read that again. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. And here Jesus begins to say this moment. He goes, the hour has come. It's like this is the moment. And when you read throughout the whole of the Gospel of John, you will find that Jesus begins to say on many accounts, now is not my time. And you read it in John chapter 2 verse 4 where it says, dear woman, when she's asking him to do this amazing miracle at the wedding, he goes, dear woman, that's not our problem. Jesus replied, my time has not yet come. When we read in John chapter 7 verse 8, they're all going to the festival and Jesus says to his disciples, you go on, I'm not going to the festival because my time has not yet come. And here in verse chapter 8, verse 20, Jesus made these statements while he was teaching in a section of the temple known as the treasury, but he was not arrested. Why? Is it because the Pharisees didn't get their act together? Is it because they had no authority to make things happen? No, 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 no. He was not arrested because his time had not yet come. And yet, we come into this moment where Jesus says, after all those moments where he says, my time is not yet, this is the moment. Can I hear an amen? And here he says, after saying all these things, Jesus offers this last prayer. And between this prayer and what's going to happen, things happen in Jesus' life quick. He dies, goes on trial, he dies, he gets buried, he rises again, and he makes his appearances to his disciples, and he ascends into heaven. But here in this moment, he anticipates this significant moment, and he says, the hour has now come. And here, Jesus is not just talking about an hour on a clock, but he's talking about a kairos moment. A moment in time. Not an hour like by minutes or days, but a decisive God-appointed time where God was going to fulfill all the prophecies that have been stated in centuries ago. The moment where all things that he has done and he has spoken about will make sense in his earthly ministry, leading to his betrayal, crucifixion, and ultimately his glorification through resurrection and ascension. And this was the moment, a divine kairos moment, the moment where God breaks into time. He moves and he acts, and when we respond, everything begins to change. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Now, you may not be a Christian, but you know what? This hour is so significant that Christians all around the world, for centuries after, still celebrate this hour. Can I hear an amen? I will die in decades to come, but no one will remember that hour. But this is remembered more than anything else in this world and will forever be remembered. Can I hear an amen? And my question to you is that even though there is this moment where Jesus died, there is this kairos moment where God breaks through into our life and we finally see the significance of this moment. And I believe that today could be the very moment where you could see the significance of Jesus' death and resurrection for your life. And here we go on to say, Jesus then says, because after saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven, Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, so he can give glory back to you. And here Jesus begins to pray and says, glorify your Son. Now the word glorification in the Bible, in short, basically captures the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus back to the right hand of the throne of God. But what's interesting here is that if I was in Jesus' shoes, and I know that the cross is coming, I would not be offering this kind of prayer. I'd be going, God, save me from this. God, help me get through this. But yet here, Jesus was able to see, wasn't hopeless, wasn't giving up hope, but instead he prayed for his glorification because it was in this exact moment that God had chosen for him to be glorified as the Son. It wasn't a moment to die, but it was a moment to be glorified. That his death is only half the story, because he knew that at the same time, he was going to be resurrected and glorified as the Son of God. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And why is this so significant for us? Because oftentimes, it's a glory that is veiled by the cross. A glory that is veiled by affliction and adversity, but really is seen through the eyes of faith. Can I hear an amen? Everyone else on earth would have seen a man dying a criminal's death, but for unto us who believes, it is the power and the wisdom of God. Doesn't it say in 1 Corinthians, it says, it is foolishness to Jews who ask for signs from heaven. It is foolishness to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended. The Gentiles says it's all nonsense. But to those who are called by God to salvation, Jesus Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of humans' plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. And here Jesus was saying, glorify me, God, in this moment. And for those who have eyes to see, this was the moment of his glorification. Now, there's a man by Stan Grant. He's an Australian journalist, writer, radio, TV presenter. I saw it on Facebook the other day, and he wrote an article. And this was the quote that he gave. And he said this: the crucifixion answers my lifelong prayer, where are you, God? How many of us have asked that question in our lifetime? And it answers those who deny or question God's existence. And on the cross, Jesus is suffering with us. In death, God is dying with us. I'm a Christian because Christ died and rose again. He is the end of history, the end of death, the end of evil. Where are you, God, I ask? And God answers, I am here waiting for you. Can I hear an amen? Isn't that powerful? And here was a man who had experienced and exposed so much tragedy, but yet was able to see through with eyes of faith the glory of God that is hidden and veiled by affliction and adversity, and be able to see that, yes, even in the midst of that, God is right there, and all glory goes to God. Amen? If I can get Grace up as well right now, that'd be great. And then here Jesus finishes with this, saying, after saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. And as I was praying and reading about this, I was going, God, how do you give glory back to us? Because you know what? Many of us would have heard the same story over and over again. Jesus died for our sins and he rose again. Jesus died for our sins and he rose again. How many of us believe that? But yet we know there are moments in our life where that moves from our head to our heart. Where Jesus is truly glorified in our heart. In those moments when we see him lifted up and you go, I finally see you as you are. Our hearts then go, amen, and we go, glory back to God. Can I hear an amen? And this is what it says, because you know what? When we encounter the glorified Jesus in our hearts, we cry out glory to God. And this is what Corinthians says in 2 Corinthians 1. It says, for no matter how many promises God has made, They are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Can I get an amen? So this is what we're going to do right now. I'm going to highlight the moments where Jesus has been glorified in your heart. And when I say that, and I say amen, I'll point to that cross, and I want everyone to say, glory to God. Can we do that? Amen. So Jesus died for our sins. Amen?
Glory to God.
Jesus rose again 3 days later. Amen? And what I want to be able to do right now is hear the collective stories. One of the things that stood out to me was during that worship song about how we are alive to tell the story. I think this is one of the greatest evidence that Jesus is still alive today. That is every single one of our stories. Can I hear an amen? That story from Mel. Man, who else can do that but the power and love of our Lord Jesus Christ? Can I hear an amen? I'm not talking about just information that just touches your head. I'm talking about things that touches your heart, where at your heart, Jesus is glorified. And with that, when we hear that story, our hearts can't help but just go, glory to God. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And so, I want to go through some things about what it means when Jesus is glorified in our hearts. And if that resonates with your story, I'm going to say amen. And we all go, glory to God. Because we're going to give glory to God this morning. Amen? How many of us, when we look at the cross, there was that moment where we saw the mercy of God for the first time? You felt many, many times. And if people knew exactly what you did, you would be filled with shame. But yet, there was that moment when you were hiding it from everyone. You were blaming yourself and finding it so hard to forgive yourself. You found that you couldn't come before God, but yet there was this moment when the Holy Spirit came in a kairos moment and said, you see what Jesus did? He died when you were at your worst. But yet even at that worst, he goes, I will accept you and I will love you. I will forgive you. I will wash you white as snow and I will make you clean. I will embrace you as my beloved child. And we say, amen. How many of us have struggled with identity our whole life? We grew up in a household. People say stuff about you. No one can ever see anything good in you. You'll never amount to nothing. You even start telling those things about yourselves in your head. You're the most influential preacher in your own life. And yet you're saying all these things. You'll never amount to nothing. You'll always fail. But yet, one day, all of a sudden you saw that. And you saw the meaning of the cross. And you heard Jesus said to you, you are now my son and you are my daughter in Christ. Nothing to prove. Nothing to lose. Nothing to hide. Your job doesn't make you my son. Your good behavior doesn't make you my son. I loved you. I made you. You are my son. And you are my daughter. And it was in that moment that Jesus was glorified in your heart. And we said, amen.
Glory to God.
Many of us have been struggling to see change and transformation in our life. You tried. You tried other religions. You tried harder. You tried other kind of self-help things. But time and time again, you know you failed. But yet you come here today, for example, and you hear that story and you go, wow, maybe there is this thing about coming back to God. And it's from that place that then everything changes. Because he changes your heart. He gives you a new heart. And with that new heart, he gives you the power of the Holy Spirit, his very presence in your life, to enable you to live a life that is full of joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. The kind of life that has purpose. It isn't a fleeting happiness. It is a prolonged joy because you are now with your Maker. And finally, you saw that moment in your heart and in your life. And you said, where else can I go? Who else should I turn to? And then you turn to Him. And in that moment, we say, amen. What about some of us? We've experienced brokenness. You know, some things somehow in this lifetime will not measure up and turn good. But yet, we see in the cross of Jesus Christ, the promise that Christ will come again and make all things new. I found that hope when I lost weight, that I can grieve with hope. Because you know what? It's not, I'm never going to see you again. It's, I'll see you soon. That no longer is it a time where someone's passed, she's finished the race. She's gifted with the crown of glory. And all of a sudden, in that moment for me, in that moment of loss, there was hope. Because Jesus showed to me, God said to me, you know what? I have a son who died too, and I know how it feels. I know what it's like to lose someone, but yet you can have hope again because he rose again, amen? And he sits on the right hand of the throne of God. He has defeated sin and death. I'm not talking about in your head, I'm talking about in your heart. And when you see that, you go, amen. And everyone said, what about the healing in your life? You've struggled time and time again with chronic illness, and you're going, God, how is this going to happen? I still remember when I had my cancer, and then I saw this vision of Jesus on the cross with a scar on his face, and then God saying to me, I took your sickness too. And in that moment, I experienced the suffering of God with me in my suffering. And in that moment, I said, amen. And we said, what about the injustice that we have faced? There are some things that people have done to each and every one of us that is so horrific that the most loving thing to do is for there to be divine judgment and justice. And yet you see on the cross, Jesus didn't just go, let's forgive and let it, you know, overlook it. He goes, you know, all those sins, all those wrongdoings, all those hurt and pain, they need to be accounted for. And he was a just God. And that just is the loving hand of God for people who've experienced pain from the hurt of other people. And yet, when we saw in that moment, in our moment of hatred and anger and wanting to seek revenge, and then God all of a sudden shows himself on that cross, Jesus glorified, and he goes, I'm not overlooking those things. I will call into account everything that has been done underneath the sun, and everything will be uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of whom we must give an account. And he goes, therefore, you can let it go. Forgive. Don't allow the root of bitterness to capture and imprison your soul, but instead extend grace and forgiveness to let it go, but know that one day it will be held account. And when we saw that in our hearts, we say, amen.
Glory to God.
Two more.
Glory to God.
Thank you. He was trying to make it quicker, and it's like, we're finished up. No. What about the relational hurts that we faced? The person's hurt me so much, I can never forgive them. Then Jesus just comes and goes, just as I have forgiven you, forgive them. Many people have said that. You know that. But I'm talking about the Kairos moment. That moment when the Holy Spirit presses on it and goes, do you see the depth of my forgiveness for you? Can't you do that with them? And all of a sudden, with that conviction comes the strength to forgive. And because of that, you see reconciliation happen. And we all say, amen. And then Jesus finishes with this. And he says this. So he goes, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that he may give glory back to you. And he says, for you have given him authority over everyone. And he gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you send to the earth. And here, one of the greatest glory to God that we can give back to him is when we see that this same event where Jesus suffered in terrible humiliation and shame is at the same time the reason he will be honored and praised all over the world by people whose sins he has carried. Can I hear an amen? And with that, we say, I receive eternal life, God. Glory to God. Can I hear an amen? Yeah. So why don't we rise to our feet? We're going to go into a time of worship. And then after that, I'm going to invite Clement, and he's going to give a call, a response. A response to the Word of God. A response to give glory back to God by receiving eternal life. Let me just pray. Lord God, we just thank you for your Word. We thank you for that simple prayer, God. We thank you for your obedience to be able to say, the hour has come, glorify your Son so that he may give glory back to you. And Lord God, we thank you for the eternal life that has been given to each and every one of us. Not just a life as a ticket into heaven, but a life of knowing you. And everything that comes from that knowing of you, that returning to you, that submitting to you, that you give us life and life abundantly in the here and now. And so, Lord God, we just thank you for this Resurrection Sunday. We thank you for the stories that we've heard. We thank you, Lord, for the way you've intervened into each and every one of our life, that we are alive to tell the story that will always bring glory back to you. In the name of Jesus, amen.